Jewish nation. Now, he had sheep in the Jewish nation. All of his disciples were Jews. The Apostle Paul and John and all of them were Jews by descendant. So he had sheep of Israel, that nation. But he said, other sheep I have. That's what he's talking about you. You who are believers in Christ, he's speaking of you. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This was the purpose of Jesus coming to lay down his life for the sheep. And that he must bring them. He must bring them. Now, to say that God must do something is amazing. But listen, Jesus said, I must. Why? Because he purposed to do so. And whatever God purposes to do, he does. He must do. And Jesus said, I must bring you. You realize you're here because Christ must have brought you? Do you realize you will be saved completely and receive heaven and glory because Christ must bring you? Not because of your merits, but because of his divine purpose, because he willed it so. He said, I will have you, and I will die for you, and I will bring you to myself. I will do it. He says this in Ezekiel. He said, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will be judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. You know that David was dead when he had made that statement. He's talking about Christ, David's son and David's Lord. He said, I'm going to set up my son. I'm going to set up my king over my people, and he shall rule them. He shall be their shepherd. And they will be his sheep, and he will feed them. He will feed them. This morning he's feeding you. This is our food. Our food is to understand the purpose of God, to understand the salvation that God gives. That's our food. That's our life. That's what sustains me and keeps me going day to day to day is Christ, that I am in Christ. I must know that I am in Christ. I must trust in Christ. Therefore, election and salvation are not according to the will and works of man. That's what he says. It's not of him. It says in verse 11, the children not yet being born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And in verse 15, he says, verse 16, he says, so then it is not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. The elect, the sheep, these are the elect. And in verse 23, Paul calls these elect vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. Afore prepared. Afore, before the world began, you were prepared. You were afore prepared by God putting you in Christ, giving you to Christ, putting you in union with His Son. You were afore prepared unto glory. Vessels of mercy. Well, now that we know God has an elect, that's Israel, that God will save Israel, then who is this Israel? Who is this elect? Who are the vessels of mercy afore prepared unto glory? Listen to what Paul says in verse 24, even us. Even us. Even sinners. Rebels. Haters of God by nature. Rebels by birth and rebels by choice, which is the state of all of us by nature. All of Adam's race had fallen into ruin and death and darkness, ignorance. But this is the mark of election. Even us whom he hath called. What is the mark, then, Paul is saying about election? What is the mark of the elect? It is this, they are called. It is not of him that, not of works, but of him that calleth. You see, he's going right back to that verse that he stated back in verse 11. It's of him that calleth. And so then only the called. Israel is not by, we're by nature captives of sin, by birth born servants and haters of God, and we could not and would not come to Christ alone. Isn't this true of modern religion? Can't you see this? Everybody in this nation believes in Jesus. I don't know, very few would say that they don't even believe that He existed. They know He did. So many believe in Jesus. But how many are actually called? Called. We by nature are servants of darkness. It's so dark that even though they know there is a Christ and there is salvation and the Word of God is preached, man is so corrupt to still try to add to it. He's so vile, so wretched, that he would look at Christ's offering and say, yeah, that's good, but, yeah, I need to do something to that. I need to modify it in some way. I need to contribute my work to it. This is the proof of man's depravity, is that God, in grace, sent His Son to save sinners, and yet they still would not believe it. They're trusting to be accepted by their works, by holding on to the salvation of their souls, by some carnal action, some religious ceremony, some ritual or obedience to the law. This is the corruption of man. Now, many do confess to need Christ. They confess to be sinners, to need His blood to redeem them, His righteousness to cover them, but they feel so compelled to work for it, to earn it. Well, Jesus saved me, but I've got to keep it. I've got to do it. You won't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. They're compelled to add their obedience to His work. These men are supposed that the blood of Christ is without power except their will regenerate themselves. Except they regenerate themselves by their will. Like Christ's blood's over here in the corner. Unless they avail themselves to it, it does nothing. It doesn't really redeem them until they make it effectual to themselves. Now I'm going to tell you this. The Lord pictured those people. He did. In that wedding feast, you remember? He said, go and call them and tell them what? All is ready. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means everything's ready. So, what do I need to bring? No, you're missing it. Everything is ready. Nothing is required of you. Nothing. Come. Come, and everything is prepared for you. And you remember there was that one man that came to the wedding feast, and he had not a wedding garment on. He brought his own. He brought his own. It may have been one his mama fashioned. He thought that was really neat. I'll just put this one on. This is good enough. I made this with my own hands. I'll put it on and I'll go to the wedding feast. And you remember what happened? The king saw him. He said, whither comest thou without a wedding garment? You see, the wedding garment was provided. He didn't need to bring anything. All he had to do was cast off that old garment he had and put on the wedding garment. It was ready. It was prepared for him. And yet, he would not. You remember, he was cast out, took him, bound him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness. Now, we know then that that's not a real thing. We know that this is a parable now of a spiritual matter, isn't it? What could earthly king do and cast a person out? He can't cast a person out of darkness. This is talking about a spiritual matter. Friends, all is ready. All is prepared. Come. I tell you this morning, all is ready. Every one of you, look at me. Every one of you, look at me. Everything is ready. Salvation's accomplished. You need nothing to bring. Come now, and Christ will save you. Now, I called every one of you, didn't I? But listen, many are called, but few are chosen. That's the end of that parable, you know. Many are called, few are chosen. You know who the chosen are? The ones who have the wedding garment on. The ones who believe in Christ. The ones who rest in Christ. The ones who trust in Christ. These are the vessels of mercy. These are the vessels of for prepared for glory. These are the ones Christ came to live and die for. Those who are called. Are you called? Then you are the elect of God. Chosen, redeemed, loved eternally of God. Purpose to salvation. You should forsake everything and cleave to Christ. Come to Christ. You know what the heart of the elect does? They come. Now listen, you who come, can you answer this question? Could you do anything else? Where else do you want to go? Where? Is there any other place to go? But see, I'm not just going out of desperation. I want to come. I want to come. Don't you see that's a miracle? And you, he said, and his people shall be willing in the day of his power. Come to Christ is no small feat. It is impossible to come. And if you come, it's so simple. Because you don't have any place else to go and you don't want to go anywhere else. Christ is all. Christ is all. To the elect. Even to us whom he hath called. Now then, look at verses 25 through verse 29 here. He says, as he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. And her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now consider for a moment the great darkness that covered the earth before Christ came. Have you considered how great that darkness was? The multiplied billions of people that died in their sins. That only that small family, that small nation, God gave His covenant, His law, and the prophets. And so they were the only ones that had the gospel. Out of all the world, they were the only ones who had the gospel. And not all of them believed it. Now tell me, how great was the ruin of man? How great was it? And the billions of people who never heard the gospel, I want you to understand this, they are in hell. I know this offends men, doesn't it? You take the man out there in the heathen nation and he's never heard the gospel, never had what they call an opportunity to believe, never had any word from God. And he dies in his sin. They say, oh, surely God would be merciful to him. No. No, what light he had, he still rebelled. That's what he says in all of Romans chapter 1 and 2 is built on that. He's already explained that to you. He said, look, they know that there's a God by creation. And yet what do they do with that knowledge? They worship him not as God, but bow down to him as some four-legged beast, or they think of him as the sun or the moon or the stars or the trees. Some created thing. That's how they view God. And so in their foolish hearts were darkened. And now who do you suppose blinded them? Now they were blinded by nature, but who kept them in that darkness? God did. God did not give them his light. And they died in their sin. Now listen, friends, these were our fathers. And you, in this civilized frame, say, I would never bow down to those. You would if God let you alone. If God left you alone, that's exactly what you'd be doing. You'd be bowing down to trees and stumps and birds and bugs and rats. You'd be just like your fathers. How thankful then should we be that we live in this time where the gospel is now openly preached. Where the light, they that sat in darkness saw a great light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So thankful that we did not live in the days of our fathers, but now live in the light of the gospel of Christ. We who have been called to faith in Christ have seen the great light. We see that God, who has purposed to save, has fulfilled His salvation in Christ, and by the new birth we believe on Him. Now then, is election a harsh or a cruel gospel? If you understand the nature of man right, you know it's not. If you understand the darkness and corruption of our nature, then you see election as the only hope for sinners. It is the only way God could save us, is if He purposed to save us. If He left salvation to us, then none of us could be saved. None of us could be saved. Well, that's saying a lot, but I'm not saying anything the Word doesn't say. Read in verse 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. Now He's first of all talking about the children of Israel. He's saying, look, the seed of Abraham, that was the promise of God. He said, your seed shall be as the sand of the sea. And it was. That nation was very large. That nation had grown from one little family and to millions of people. It was God fulfilled that promise. But though they be in that number, yet God says this, only a remnant shall be saved. Now listen to that. Only a remnant of Israel shall be saved. And listen, for He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now He's talking about the destruction of all of the Jewish nation and ordinances in the tabernacle. He said, look, that work is going to be cut short in righteousness. That work, our Lord says, except that work be done quickly. He says it's done for the elect. I'm trying to remember exactly the verse. But He's talking about the destruction of that temple and tabernacle. And then He says this, but I want you to consider what Isaiah said, except the Lord hath left us a seed, we, He's talking about the nation of Israel, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Had He not had a remnant, had He not had a people, and so it is among us. Consider that we would have all been as Sodom and Gomorrah. We would have none of us come to Christ. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So then, is election harsh? No. It's great, because if there were no election, there would be no salvation. And any gospel that has election with has salvation without election is no gospel, because then it's dependent upon you. No, salvation, it originated in the election of grace. Otherwise, we would have all been in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this we know as believers, as though we've been called, we understand this. All we deserved was hell. But Jesus Christ, seeing Jesus Christ, we are made hopeful. Didn't that, when you first found out you were a sinner, when you heard of Christ, that not make you hopeful? I think of those lepers sitting out that gate, and they knew if they went in the city, they'd die. And if they went to the enemy, they'd die. And they said, look, well, I don't know what to do. If we go in here, we die. If we go out here, we die, but peradventure. And so they went out to the Assyrians, and you remember they found them all slain. Listen, peradventure, Christ may receive me, he may not. But I got no place else to go. And you know what you find? I know what I found. I found mercy. You who have went to Christ, what did you find? This is what you found. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Why? Because as those Assyrians were slain, so are all our sins slain. In Christ, all our sins are gone. All our sins have been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. So then there is nothing to impede us from coming to God. Nothing to stop. The veil has been rent in twain. The way has been made open. And who come? All who are called, all who are chosen, all who are redeemed, they come. They come. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we come. So to us, this doctrine is precious. I'm thankful for election. Thankful for it. And so then Paul says, what shall we say then? Look at verse 30. What shall we say then? As a result of all that was discussed before, what shall we say? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, these Gentiles, those who hated God, were vile and wicked men who never thought to seek after God. Not one thought to seek after God. Never knew God, never heard of God, never thought to be righteous, always desired to be wicked. You know what God said? These are the ones that attain righteousness. These are the ones that attain righteousness. Wicked folks, sinners, haters of God. These men who were so vile, they did not even try to constrain their evil deeds. Yet God, by grace, to manifest His grace, He made them to attain righteousness. Now how? How is a righteousness attained? Now the elect are predestinated to righteousness, but how is it attained? Well, I'll tell you this, how it was merited. It was merited by the faith of Jesus Christ. You remember I told you all is ready? That's what the Scripture says about everything at the wedding feast, all is ready. That robe, that wedding garment, it was sewn by the hands of Christ. When He obeyed the law of God, He was making the wedding garment, the righteousness of God. By His faith, He made it. He merited it. Now then, how then should you who are without God, you that are sinners, obtain it, attain to it? Not by merit. Listen how? By faith. Faith. They attain the righteousness of God through faith. Now the righteousness was merited by faith, not yours, by the faith of Jesus Christ, but it is received by your faith. Believing, not meriting. But now then, listen to this other group. He says, but Israel, talking about the nation, they followed after the law of righteousness, but did not attain, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now you take those Jews. They were the most moral people in all the world. They were the most upright. Now if anybody, they had this saying, if anybody go to heaven, one would be a Sadducee, the other would be a Pharisee. They were righteous outwardly. Do you consider yourself moral? I tell you what, they would condemn you in a heartbeat. They were moral men. They, with all their soul, wanted to be righteous. They were very sincere. In all their efforts, they were sincere. Can you imagine that man out there counting leaves, making sure he gives a tenth to God every time? That's zealousness, man. That's determination. They were determined to be righteous. They knew God required it. They wanted it. But how did they try to attain it? By the law. And what did God say? They did not attain the righteousness of the law. Why? The law was never meant to save. Merit is never a way of salvation. Self-righteousness, self-work, self-ceremony, religious deeds, works, that is not how righteousness is attained. If you try to attain righteousness by that way, you will not attain it. You will not. God will not permit it. You are already ruined. We're already ruined from birth. How can you ever hope to attain righteousness by the law? Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Paul says, wherefore, why didn't they attain it? They worked so hard for it. Why? Paul said in the next chapter, I bear them record. They got a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Friends, Jesus Christ is the way to righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteousness. And to believe on Him is to attain righteousness. I like this. You know that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Brother Don wrote this, I thought it was good. He said, in spite of all I know of myself and my nature, my sinful, corrupt nature, even that still abides in us who are believers, you know that. That didn't change anything of that old man when you believed, did it? He's still corrupt. In spite of this, even when the corruptions of my heart are most vilely manifest, I am to look upon myself as one with Christ, completely righteous before God. Yes. With His spotless garments on, I'm as holy as the Holy One. Do you trust Christ? Do you believe on the Son of God? Is His blood your only atonement for sin? Is righteousness your only righteousness before God? Is He your only hope for the eternal life? If so, God reckons you to be the righteousness of God in Him and tells you to reckon yourselves to be so too. Now let me ask you, believer, do you reckon yourself to be righteous? You should. God tells you to. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We who believe in Him have confessed Him in baptism. Isn't that the picture of baptism? To be submerged in union with Him in His death, His burial, His resurrection, to be raised with Him with incorruptible. You are as righteous as the Son of God. He has made you. You who are wicked, who did not seek righteousness, have attained righteousness. Why? You sought it not by law, but by faith. This is the object of our salvation. Look at this. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. To this religious world, I want you to understand Christ is offensive. The true Christ is offensive. The Christ of modern religion is not offensive. He is pitiful. Look at that poor, weak figure standing at the door, knocking at the men's heart, but man just won't let him in. He wants to save, but he just can't. He can't overcome the will of man. That's not Christ. When Christ wanted to save me, He saved me. When Christ wanted to raise you from the dead, He raised you from the dead. And listen, if Christ wants to raise anyone in this building from the dead spiritually, He does so without hindrance. He does it in spite of your will. In fact, He makes you willing by giving you a willing heart and a new nature. This is what men stumble at. They say, well, I've got to do... No, you don't got to do anything. Matter of fact, you can't do anything. Fall down. Can you just fall down? How much strength does it take to fall? Lay down. Plead for mercy. I lay in Zion, a rock of offense, but whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. This is the evidence of election. Whosoever believeth in Him, the rock, the foundation. I like that. He is a stone and a rock. He is not only the foundation, but He is the walls that surround us. He's our refuge, protection, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to ask you one question, you believers. Do you suppose God will not save you? Is there any chance God would not save you? You believe. Is there any possibility Christ should fail? Is there any sin left unpaid for? Is His righteousness too short to cover your sin? Stop doubting. Election is a glorious gospel doctrine because it assures us of complete victory. He who hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Election, glorious doctrine. God bless it.